Are you glad you're here today? I'm glad you're here this morning. Hey, I know they were in the first service, but there's something I just want to talk about for a second. In the first service, there's a couple in our church that had a big event this week, Talmadge and Barbara Hobbs, who have been a part of our church since we began this church. They celebrated their 65th wedding anniversary this week, so that's pretty awesome. If you're on Facebook with them, make sure that you say hello to them, and just they're a pretty great family. And it's nice to see Chris and Julianne here this morning. The Palaha's in with us from California. And man, I've been watching the videos of the boys. Man, you guys are just knocking it out there in California. These guys are so talented. I'm looking to see great stuff out of you. I dedicated these guys, which is crazy. Yeah, they were big babies. They were really big, not big babies like you'd call it, big baby, not that kind of big baby. They were just large babies. I'll stop now, because at the last baby I got myself in trouble at that last baby dedication, so we'll stop there. So we're glad that you're here today. This is a great week. I love this week. This week is 4th of July week. So it's pretty awesome. For those of you who maybe you're not fully informed about what it is, regardless of what some people believe, that it is the celebration of all things fireworks. Yeah. If you're in my neighborhood, Tori and Kaylin just moved here from Tennessee, and they don't understand yet that the 4th of July starts on the 3rd of July and doesn't end until the weekend. And it doesn't matter if it were on Monday, it still would not end until the weekend. There will be fireworks. And honestly, there's sometimes when it's like a week later and I hear fireworks go off at 10 o'clock at night and I'm like, they were out of town. They still have fireworks, you know? And so it's a great celebration for our country. And how many of you have 4th of July plans already? Anybody, you know? How many, like, you always do the cookout? Is anybody here besides me? I love, like, a 4th of July cookout. And, like, do not invite me over to 4th of July and, like, serve me spaghetti or even fried chicken. Honestly, like, I want me a good old burger. I'll take a charcoal burger, you know? It's like, just get that beef and just pour carcinogens on it, but it tastes good, you know? And so... hot dogs, you know, just grow them up with carcinogens. But it's still just the same. It's 4th of July. I'm not going to eat hot dogs any other time of the year or burgers any other time of the year, but I'm going to celebrate it because it's a pretty significant deal. It celebrates the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Declaration of Independence of the United States of America. And the reality is we don't know exactly what was going through the minds of the men who signed the declaration, who wrote it and then signed it. We don't exactly know, but we do have some idea because we see some indications in history. Some of us have started some stuff, like some of you have started families. We have some young couples here in the building, and you've started a family. There are some people here at Christ Church have started businesses. If you've ever started your own business, can I see your hand right now? Like, because it takes a lot of courage to start your own business. And so give these guys a big hand. That's entrepreneurial, and I love that. We, 22 years ago, started a church. Pretty awesome. Started with 34 people, and here we are today. And that was pretty amazing. But these guys, are you ready? They started a country. I mean, think about that. They started a country, and when they got together, like, there were some people that knew what was taking place because there was discontent in the colonies, but yet not everybody knew exactly what was taking place, but they had met together, and they wrote this document, and they signed it, and there were places, like, throughout the country that had no idea that there was a proclamation that had been made and a Declaration of Independence that had been signed. It would actually take weeks and weeks. They would make copies of that, and then they would send it out into communities because they didn't have the internet. And you know? The only way that they could get it out would be actually to send a copy of it, and it would be sent into a community. And some of them, even though the Declaration of Independence had been made weeks before that, they did not know that they had been declared free for weeks, for a long time after that. There's an interesting story, an amazing story that I love about a little community on the border of North Carolina and South Carolina. And at that community, they received a document. And when they received that document, there was no one in this little rural community who could read except one boy. He was 9 years old, and somehow he had learned to read. So the people in the village, they sent for him, and they brought him in, and they set him up on a stump, and a little 9-year-old boy read out loud to the community the Declaration of Independence, that they were free. And that 9-year-old boy was Andrew Jackson, who would go on and become the 7th president of the United States. They couldn't read it, they weren't there, but the declaration had been made and freedom had been declared over their lives. And the interesting thing about that is as time went on, there are several things that we could, in retrospect, see and know about these men who signed this, that they were a group of men who they did not separate politics and religion. They did not separate their love for God and their love for what would become their country. They tied the two of those things together. In fact, they believed that you couldn't have a real country, a great country, without understanding that there was a God behind it. They believed that they were doing something that God had destined them to do, that the Creator had called them to do this, and they believed that the law that they were establishing would have a great influence, and through the Constitution, it would establish a nation and eventually state law. And so they understood that government and God were joined together, that there was divine law and there was the law of the land. And without divine law and without the virtue of God, then the law of the land, it would not be what it was supposed to be. That they were writing some things in there that you have to do. Eventually, the law would inform us of what we have to do. These are the things that you have to do. You have to contribute to society. You have to be a part of this. You have to behave yourself in such a way when you're in public. Then there's some things that you cannot do. You cannot go next door and take your neighbor's dog or your cat. You could take their cat, but not their dog. But there's in fact, if you want a cat, there's one in the parking lot. You can take it with you today. Here's. There were some things you had to do, some things you could not do, and then there was some implication in this. There were some things that you ought to do. That there were some things that we as Americans, there are things as we as people, we ought to do that wouldn't be written into law because they're just things that we ought to do. And the only way for our conscience to be informed of what we ought to do would be that we would have to be connected with a virtuous God who would inform us not just of what we had to do or what we could not do, but what we ought to do. And those things would not be law, but they would also command our lives in a certain direction. And these men, we understand that they were moving in this direction because over and over they wrote of it. They wrote in books and they wrote in articles, and their writings for history showed that they believed a divine God was directing them to establish a country and that he was behind this whole thing. And so today I'm going to take a few moments and I want to start by reading you just a few lines out of the Declaration of Independence. Here it is, the Declaration of Independence. I'm just going to pull a paragraph right out of the middle. Here it says, "We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, appealing to the supreme judge of the world. Now, they put it in writing in the establishment of our nation, in the declaration that we are free, that this is by the hand of a supreme judge, that there is a power that it's working behind this thing, and it's by his cause and his provocation that we are doing this. They're acknowledging and writing into the documents that are establishing our freedom that this is by God. And it says here that appealing to the supreme judge for the world, of the world, for the rectitude, and that means the rightness or virtue of our intention. So his rightness, his virtue, his goodness is what is guiding us to do what we feel like we're destined to do. And so they believed that they were working by the will of God and that God was using them to establish something, and ultimately that it would be by his hand that it would be performed. It would be this document that would be spread out to 13 colonies, and those villages and those towns would read this. I'm going to read just a little bit further on. So we do, in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states. We declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free. That's an interesting statement to me. That we are declaring that by the hand of God, by the provocation of God, by the instruction of God, leading us by his virtue, by his rightness, that we are pursuing this thing, this destiny that he's called us to do, and that by him and by the intention of the people that are gathered, we ought to be free. That this had nothing to do, listen, it had nothing to do at this point with England so much. It had nothing to do with King George so much, but that God had destined them to be free, not just from King George, but free to do something, free to be something, free to accomplish something, free to be a people. Yes, free from that, but free, more importantly, to be who God was instructing us to be. Now, the interesting thing about this is they understood law. They understood that there had to be haves and you can do and you cannot do, and there are things that you ought to do, but it says that we ought to be free. I've been thinking about that phrase, we ought to be free. Now, the interesting thing about this is there is, because they were godly men, some of them were known Christians, some of them were theists, some of them were deists, but all of them were pretty much informed at least there was a deity, there was a God who was moving them. And if you were to take a look, there's a real parallel between a passage we're going to look at today in Galatians, the fifth chapter. And if you have your Bible, you can turn with me. And if not, there's an insert in your bulletin that you can follow along. And you're going to see that there is a strong parallel between what they're writing, that men ought to be free, that we're declaring freedom because we have the right and we ought to be free. And so I want you to read with me, if you would, in Galatians, the fifth chapter, because we are going to understand better that freedom is the divine gift of God, that freedom comes from God, that it is in him and through him and by his virtue do we only know what freedom is. Galatians, the fifth chapter and the first verse. Are you ready? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. I just want you to just say that line with me. Will you say it together with me? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Come on, say it with me again. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Okay, here's what I want you to do. Because, see, July 4th is a celebration of a declaration of independence for a nation, but this is the declaration of independence for a believer. that it is my declaration on this Sunday that it is for freedom that Christ came, lived, died, rose again, so that I could live free. It is for freedom. So somebody, will you say, like, don't just say it like, well, it's for free. Like, this is your moment to declare you're free. Are you ready? Will you say it with me? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. You've been made free. You've been made free from eternal punishment. You've been made free from the chains that Satan would love to have you be in. You've been made free so that you could have a better family, a better household. Understand what generosity looks like, that you can walk without being encumbered by hurt and pain and bitterness, without being torn down by pride. He came that you could be free and live your life free. So you ought to be free. Yeah. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. You ought to be free. And yet somehow, he's saying that we allow ourselves to be tied up again, entangled, pulled back into a yoke that enslaves us. In the next few passages, and I'm not going to read this whole thing for time's sake, but he begins to talk and he says that there are many of you that you've become legalistic, that you're legalistic over observing the Old Testament and the law of the Old Testament. And he goes on and he says, I would tell you, and I'll just read verse number 2, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will have no value to you at all. Here. The indication in the Old Testament that you had converted and become a follower of God was that you would get circumcised. Man, I have to tell you, we can barely get people baptized, you know? And like, join the church, you're going to be circumcised. Excuse me for a second here, guys. Can I just say, this is the Bible? Like, I'm not talking about something that isn't in the Bible here. But here's what he's saying. If you're going to make your walk with God, if this is going to be the benchmark, the indication of whether you're a follower of God's or not, then here's the deal is that's under the law, the instruction of the law. And then if you bring yourself under the law, then here's this next verse. I'll just go ahead and read it so you can hear it out of the Bible. And again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised, he is obligated to obey the whole law. So listen, if you're going to put us under the law and if you're going to make us follow one line of the law, I'm not just talking about instruction for good living, but I'm talking about if you're going to make this the litigation of our relationship with God is based on something under the law, then you put us under the entire law, and you are being justified by the law. And basically, it's saying that millions of people have tried to be justified by the law, and they have not been justified by the law. They failed miserably at it, so go ahead and have at it. Like, you go ahead and do that. If you think rule-keeping will get you to God, if you think, like, following 600, it eventually ended up not 10 commandments, 650 laws that you had to observe, if you feel like you're a good rule-keeper, any good rule-keepers in the room? Can I see your hand right now? Yeah. None. Man, they were all in first service. Here we go. Here. But there are some people, they're great at keeping rules. And I have to tell you, the people who are great at keeping rules, let's get the rule. Let's make a rule. Like, make a rule about that thing, you know? They're always going to want us to go back to the rules. And I have to tell you, there's some indication about that. He said, but be very careful that you don't try to base your righteousness on your rule keeping. And so, verse number 7, and I'll just read it out of this passage here. You were running a good race. Who cut you off in order to keep you from obeying the truth? What kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you? A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. Can I just talk about this for a second? He said, if you decide that you are going to serve God based off of how good of a rule keeper you are, based on the law of the Old Testament, a little bit of that will spoil the whole thing. Because it takes us away from the gospel. It takes us away from the grace of God. Do I think that there are principles in the Old Testament that they're noteworthy and may they instruct us to our lives? Absolutely. But let me just tell you, do they give us relationship with God? Do they establish our righteousness with God? None of that is true, because if so, then we have nullified the work of the cross. Can somebody say amen? Because it becomes about us and our works. Verse number 10, I am confident in this that you will take no... He's like, there's no other way to view this thing. I'm confident that you will take no other view. There's no two views about this thing. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay a penalty. He's like saying, there's consequences for teaching that. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, then why am I being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. Okay, excuse me, that's in the Bible. I did not write that. Like, somebody before me wrote that, but he's like saying, if you think that, like, excuse me for just, if cutting yourself, a little bit of a cut is going to get you to God, then just go ahead and make a big cut, you know? Are you ready? Verse number 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be... Oh, that was horrible. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be
free.
You were declared by Christ to be free. You were called to be free. Are you ready? But, okay, excuse me for 1 second. There's a big but in the Bible, and there it is. But do not use your freedom to indulge your flesh. Okay. The things you have to do, things you cannot do. But then there's the things that you ought to do that are written into your heart by the Spirit of God. You were called to be free. And let me illustrate this just for a second here. There's a dark side of freedom. If you're free and you're free and you can do anything that you want to, there's a dark side to that. Let me give an example of that. Can I talk to the guys in the room for a second? And I just don't push back on me about this, but for the guys, I know, because I'm a guy, I understand this experience. Do you remember the first time your mom or dad gave you the keys to their car for you to go out and drive by yourself? Do you remember that? And you went out into that car and you're like, let's see what this baby can do. Seriously, you went out into that Buick, like, find me a straight stretch. And you experienced the dark side of freedom. and seriously, it might've been a Catalina. In my family, it was a Dodge Dart. So honestly, it couldn't get too dark. You know, it's like there was not a lot of freedom to that, unless you were going downhill, you know. But some of us have experienced that in another place. We couldn't wait till we moved out of mom and dad's house. We couldn't wait till we went to school to become a college freshman. And we were going to abandon all the rules and regulations that our mom and dad had. And we were going to be free. Absolutely. You're free. You're free. You can do whatever you want to do. You're free. But don't allow your freedom to entangle you into a life that will take you down. You get to choose that, but there's a dark side of freedom. So don't abuse that freedom. But rather, he goes on and says, simply and humbly serve one another in love. Make your life about other people. Make your life about other people rather than about indulging yourself. You ought to be free, but the problem with it is you ought to be free. But now that you ought to be free, you just keep going back to the same stuff that kept you from being free. I'll just go ahead and preach what I have to preach for a couple of seconds here. Yeah, I'm free, but I've been praying for the Lord to make me free, but then after I'm free, I text him. Amen. I'm free. I've been asking the Lord to make me free, and then I go back and buy that thing again. I go back and buy that bottle. I go back online. I'm free, but I keep entangling myself. I'm free. Here's the deal, is you're free. Listen, don't take any offense. I'm not talking religion. I'm talking just good sense here. You're free to pick up that cigarette. But on the other side of that, you understand that you may be entangling yourself with cancer. Free. Can somebody understand what I'm talking about today? Free. You're free to go downtown and buy some drugs and take the drugs. But listen, you may lose everything in an addiction that you didn't see coming. Free, but don't entangle yourself in that. But instead, he's saying you're free to be controlled by what God wants you to be controlled by. So let me just read on, and then I'm going to close out here. For the entire law is fulfilled by keeping this one commandment: love your neighbor. If you bite and devour each other, like if it's all about bickering, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the things of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit, and if you walk by the Spirit, then the things of the flesh, like, they're kept at bay. I want to read that same verse out of the New Living Version. Here we go. I say to you, let the Holy Spirit lead you in each step, and then you will not please your sinful desires. Lord, I'm looking for a relationship. Lead me in this step. Lord, I'm looking for a godly marriage. Lead me. Lord, I want to bring up my children the way I'm supposed to. Lead me. Lord, in my finances, I want to be blessed and I want to be free. I want to be free to accomplish and do what I'm supposed to in this world. Lord, lead me in my finances. You're free. You can do whatever you want to, honestly. But the truth is the freedom that you have, if you go to the dark side of whatever that freedom is, it's going to take you to a place that will only bring you down. So he's saying, listen, don't walk by that, but instead, every step, be led by the Spirit. And as you're led by the Spirit, your freedom will take you to a place where you ought to be free. You ought to be free. So there are a couple things I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you a little bit of instructions, and then I'm going to let you go in a few minutes. Here we go. There's a subtle trap. Beware of unguarded living. Beware of unguarded living. You were called to be free, but don't use your freedom to indulge the nature of the flesh. A couple of years ago, I had a friend who I'd helped in recovery, and in helping him in recovery, he had struggled with addiction for a long time, and I'd made a commitment to help him get forward because I believed that God had something for his life. And I literally have gone to crack houses and pulled him out of crack houses. And I believe that God had something for him. And so he got clean. He was picking up his second year chip. If you've ever been in any of the rooms, you know what that's about. He was picking up his second year chip. And as he was, I wrote it down later because here's what he said. He said, man, they gave him an opportunity to say something. He said, man, this just comes easy to me. And everybody in the room collectively went, honestly, like there was a sense of arrogance about it. The Bible is really clear that, like, if you think you're standing, be careful or you will fall. I've been saved for a long time and I don't need that. I've been saved for long. I don't need to go to the prayer. I've been a Christian before you were born. I've been all of that stuff, and I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to get snared. I'm not going to get trapped. I can do this. I can manage all this. I can manage that hit. I can manage that drink. I can manage that cigarette. I can manage my anger. I can manage the way I'm. I can manage my money. I can do all of that stuff. But be very careful, because if you don't guard your heart, it can lead your freedom can lead you to a place of bondage. So here's three things I'll give to you. John Maxwell says, how leaders can avoid the minefield of failure, moral failure. Here's the first one. No, they have no accountability. If you have no accountability, you're going to fail. You have to have somebody that can talk to you, have a real conversation with you. Listen, if you're offended anytime somebody comes to say, hey, are you if you get a vision of like what this is looking like in your life, do you know where that's going to head you? Honestly, if you can't take like the correction of somebody, if you can't take somebody talking to you, you're going to fail. So you have to have some accountability. And you can't listen to everybody because not everybody's working in your benefit. But the truth is, if it's somebody that loves you and they come to talk to you and say, hey, pay attention to this, you might want to pay attention. John Maxwell also says, people who fail are not continually in the Word of God. The Word of God is going to instruct your heart. It's going to instruct your life. And so get in the Word of God. He's not just going to teach you law. He's going to teach you what you ought to do. And then the people who fail, he says, they think it will never happen to them. They think it will never happen to them. So for each of us, let's consider the enemy will lie to you. He'll lie to you, and then he'll take you out. He'll lie to you and tell you that you're the, here's his lie. Are you ready? You're the exception to the rule. Go ahead and have that affair. Go ahead and go home with him. Go home with her. And it will not affect you, your wife, your marriage, or your children in the future. Can I just say, he's lying to you. And yes, indeed, you're free. But don't allow yourself to be entangled in something that will cost you more than you ever imagined it would. Because he, the Bible says, the thief comes to kill and steal and to destroy. Christ came to give you life. Okay. So there's just a few things that I'm going to just challenge you to do. Here's what he says in these last verses. Can I read in verse 16, 17, and 18, and then I'm going to close. So I say to you, live by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. How about this one? How about if we just decide to get free in the Spirit? Like, how about if we just decide that if we're going to expend energy to do something, how about if we expend our mental and emotional energy and our time pursuing God? What kind of freedom would that bring us to? So be led by the Spirit. You're called to be free. Don't follow the sinful nature, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. You know what your sinful nature desires? It desires to take you down. Kill, steal, and destroy. That's all sinful nature does. They are in conflict with each other so that you do what you do not want to do. Verse number 18, here's what I want to get to, and I'm going to close. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Okay, so there are people that, three groups of people that I want to just kind of talk to for a second. There are folks who are perfectionists. Perfectionists, nothing is good for a perfectionist unless everything is perfect. And a perfectionist believes they can get a relationship with God if they're perfect. And their perfectionism is what will give them a relationship with God. Let me just tell you, you are not perfect. You won't ever be perfect. Galatians, the third chapter, Paul writes, who bewitched you? Who taught you that somehow after beginning with the Spirit birthed you, but now you're going to think that your works can perform this thing? Perfectionism. Here's the second, and it leads into the third thing, and that is legalist. You'll become a legalist. That I need to know what the law is. Let's define what the law is. What are the rules? Are you ready? I'm sorry that I'm just being so candid about stuff today, but so tell me what the rules are. Define what the rules are so I know where I can stand. If I'm a believer, tell me what the rule is concerning, I'll go ahead and say it. Tell me what the rule is concerning how many drinks does it take to be drunk? Can we put a number to that? So if it takes 9 drinks for me to be drunk, if I'm on 8, I'm still good. Okay, so on a believer's side, do you know what that means? It means how close can I get to the line and still be good? So I need to know where the line is. On the non-believer side, do you know what that means? On non-believer side, it's like, how close can I get to the line without making a commitment? Like, I want a little bit of God, but I don't want to completely commit to that. And here's what he's saying. Like, you're living in conformity to the world. And that's the last thing I want to say. Like, don't be conformed to the world. Don't be conformed to religion and legalism. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. But here he's saying, like, you're going to get all entangled in stuff when you ought to be free. You ought to be free to have a home that's filled with love. You ought to be free to have finances that God blesses. You ought to be free to live in peace. You ought to be free to live in joy. You ought to be free. And anytime you allow your freedom to take you in a direction, it will entangle you and take you down. So today, here's what I'm saying. Will you live by the Spirit? Will you allow the Spirit of God to come in and fill you? And in the places where you have hurt and you have pride and you have bitterness, instead of allowing yourself, even though you've been declared, the Declaration of Independence has been written, and it's been proclaimed out into your community. And there's a little boy, 9 years old, standing up here today saying to you, you're free. You ought to be free. Then live like you're free and not entangled. So today, I'm just going to challenge you. Will you allow yourself to be filled with the Spirit and be free? I'm going to pray with you in these next few moments. Dear Heavenly Father, there are people in this room today that they've been called by you and destined by you, and the proclamation has been made. It is for freedom that we have been made free. It is for freedom that we've been made free, and yet the enemy would love to get us to play games with him and see where's the rule, what's the line, so we can see how close we can get to that instead of living by what we ought to be is free. So Lord, will you just touch each and every person in this place today and help us to be filled with your Spirit. We receive the work of the Holy Spirit today so that we can walk from this place in freedom. Lord, if there's somebody here who doesn't know you yet, will you just allow the Holy Spirit to come and flood their heart and compel them to know you? Every head bowed and every eye closed. If I could just pray with you for a second, will you just repeat this prayer after me? Every person in this room, and if you haven't received Christ and walked into freedom, will you walk into his freedom that comes through Jesus Christ today? Just repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Acknowledge that Jesus is your Son, that he came to this earth so I could be free. I could be free for eternity, so I could be free to live the life you have for me. So I receive Christ into my heart today. Jesus, come in. And anything that separates me from you, I lay it down at the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for making me free. Every head bowed and every eye closed in this room today, if you just prayed that prayer and you needed to pray that prayer and receive Christ into your heart, okay, I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you in the days ahead. If you just prayed that prayer and needed to pray that prayer, could I see your hand right now? Just raise your hand. Yes, I see it. I see it. Yes, I see it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hey, there's hands going up all over this room today. And the most important thing is, like, God's just making you free. Like, he's setting you free today. We want to help you on your journey. There's a card in the seat in front of you that says, hey, I made a decision to follow Jesus today. I'd love to help you on your journey. If you'll take a moment, fill out that card and turn it in at the end of today's service, or hand it to me or Pastor Tori, and let us help you get started on your journey. Will you let them know they made the best decision of their life today? Come on. We're going to sing for a couple of minutes, and I know that I'm coming up on time here, but I know we have, I'm going to ask everybody to stand. I know we have some prayer partners that are here, and I'm going to ask a couple of our prayer partners to come, and these next few moments are not just going to be for them, but if you would like to have somebody pray with you specifically about whatever that would be, whether you're sick or whether you're in trouble, or maybe just pray a little bit further past this moment, come into this way, guys. Yeah. So there's going to be some folks down here that are going to be ready to pray with you in these next few moments. And maybe you're struggling with something and you want to get free. We're going to help you. But when we start to sing, just go ahead and step out of your seats and come on. You can come now. Just come on, come on, come on, come on. Yeah, give them a big hand. They're coming now. Yeah, just come on, come on, come on, come on. Okay, we're going to ask the Lord to set a lot of people free in this room today. There's people coming down here to get prayer, but every person, will you just pray in these next few moments that the Holy Spirit will come and fill you and free you? You ought to be free. You ought to be free from bitterness. You ought to be free from hurts. You ought to be free from sadness. Honestly, like, you ought to be free for you to walk in joy and love and peace. You ought to be free. You ought to be free from anything that controls you and keeps you from the life that God has for you. So be filled with the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit come in and then let Him lead you and guide you. So as we sing in these next few moments, we're going to ask you, every hand, every heart, like pouring out to God here, that He makes you free. Come on, will you just raise your hands with me for just a second? Just go ahead and do it. Surrender everything to God.